Ray, to be so free.
Lord St. Ives' hand tightened on hers, and Jeanette forced her gaze back to the tall, gaunt vicar. But it wasn't until she pictured her parents' worried expressions that she managed a weak,
"I will."
Minutes later, it was over. The Baron kissed her with slack lips, clasped her fingers in his small, manicured hand, and turning to face the rows of pews behind them, presented his new bride to the congregation. Faces beamed at Jeanette, strangers all except her parents and brother, who nodded their approval while standing to watch the new couple parade down the aisle. Jeanette heard many murmur of her youth and beauty as she passed, but more spoke of the ball awaiting them that evening at Hawthorne House. Her new husband was no small man among those in the county, his wedding no obscure event in Cornwall.
"What a joy to see you properly wed,"
her mother gushed as soon as St. Ives turned away to accept the felicitations of his friends. Jeanette was glad to stand in the warmth of the sun. At least it felt familiar, despite the intermittent rain. The church interior, beautiful in its way, with an abundance of marble and stained glass, had been so cold. Unable to think of an appropriate response to her mother's fabricated brightness, Jeanette turned to her father.
"I am proud of you,"
he whispered in their native French.
"You have chosen well. Lord St. Ives may not look the handsome gallant, but he comes from some of the finest blood in all of England. Our cousin Lord Derby has assured me of that, no? And he is rich as a king. You will always be well cared for."
Jeanette struggled to swallow the lump that swelled in her throat.
"Yes, Papa."
Her 13-year-old brother, Henri, stood watching them with a gentle, pained expression. She managed to smile when she caught his eye, but before she could speak to him, her new husband drew her toward a fancy gilt-edged coach, waiting at the head of a line of lesser conveyances. A team of four huge horses pranced, while their driver, dressed in burgundy livery, held the matched beasts in check, and several footmen stood at attention.
"Thank God that is over with," "But a man must marry, eh?"
He reached out and squeezed her knee, his grin a picture of eager anticipation. Trying not to notice how his dull grey eyes measured every detail of her body, Jeanette quelled the urge to shrink from his touch and stared out at the many guests who would soon be joining them again.
"Will you miss France overmuch?"
he asked. The carriage lurched forward, forcing her to brace herself with a hand on one side. Rain over the past several days had left the streets full of ruts and mud, making the coach sway dramatically as they began their journey. For politeness's sake, she wanted to say that she wouldn't, but knew her husband would interpret it for the lie that it was.
"Oui,"
she admitted at last.
"France's loss is my gain."
His lips curved into another of his odd smiles, revealing teeth yellowed with age and tobacco. Jeanette's stomach tightened into a hard knot. For a moment she wished her governess had not taught her such excellent English. She understood him only too well. Fearing she might disgrace her family yet, she made no reply. Thankfully, her new husband said nothing more, and they rode in silence the 3 miles to Hawthorne House. Lieutenant Crawford Traynor stiffened as his mother welcomed him with a kiss. Her smile looked contrived amid the elegant features of her face, an expression Traynor didn't recognize. But then he'd seen little of Lady Bedford over his life.